Hello and welcome to a podcast from the Practical Medium. And I'm Michelle, the medium that's sometimes practical, but not putting out podcasts these days. So, I haven't had much in the way of bandwidth to think of stuff. I haven't really been in that side of my brain a lot. And I know I've said that in the last podcast, but it really, over the time between my last podcast and this one, I just went literally flat. I've had nothing. I've had no inspiration. I've not been spending any time in the sensitive areas of life, apart from just staying in constant contact with Ken, as it were. But I tried to do a podcast a few weeks ago, and I just could not push it out. I tried. It didn't sound right. It didn't come across the way I wanted to, and I just set the whole thing aside. So that's where I've been, and no push. So it happens, and who knows when I'll throw out the next one, but I want to mention something on the aside, is that occasionally I do go back onto Reddit on my super secret Medium account, and people ask me about the podcast, and the main reason I give the link out is because questions I get, I try to answer in the podcasts and give more insight as opposed to just a surface level comment. Plus, my hands hurt from writing on the regular basis, and I just don't want to spend the time typing because it hurts, and I gotta because I have to conserve my hands because they are my money, and so I that's the main reason why I send people from Reddit to the podcast, so you can look through the catalog I've made and listen to stuff to maybe get some more insight. So on that note, if you are a Redditor has followed me and you have not been satisfactorily not gotten a satisfactory answer, please don't hesitate to email me. And my email is always in my podcast box. And I'm more than happy to give some clarification. So I might do that through email. I might do it through a podcast. But you will get my answer and how I, you know, my point of view. So, tonight's podcast, because it is currently 10:11, and I have been seeing nothing but lineups on the clock in terms of 11:11, 1:11, and I'm having some glitching issues with Audacity. I'm not sure if it's something in my computer, because I had a case fan die, and I think the voltages are now messed up, because other things are now starting to domino. I'll get back to that. But anyway, I'll wake up and I'll ask Ken, what time is it? And he'll go, I don't know, look at your phone. And I pick up my phone and it's 11 freaking 11. There's not a massive, huge message behind that. All that is that you want things, you are putting the work in to get these things, and this is our way of making you know that your promise is being kept. It may not be immediate, it may not be in the next few weeks, it may not be in the next month or so, but we are keeping a promise and elevating you towards what you want. And elevating is the word that's not my word, it's his word. So we're elevating you or pushing you or getting you higher than where you are now. And I refuse to use the word vibrational because it sounds like it makes me think of a cheap plastic bullet vibrator. Yeah, I went there, as opposed to frequencies, because it's more of a frequency thing than it is actually a vibration. But frequencies are vibrations, and vibrations are frequencies, you know. And there I go, all technology connections on you. How's that for a reference? Anyhoodle. So it's just been kind of quiet. It's just what I've been seeing lately, and just not really putting much thought into it, because it's annoying. Anyway. So tonight's podcast, now that I've gotten past my side trip, is about one of my favorite artists of all time, and that is Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I will get into a moment why I have been thinking about him, but I will first give you the background of why I'm talking about him. And that is, you may have heard me say it, or you may have heard other people in the sensitive world say it, that when somebody dies, it's because they have completed the work that they are here to do. Even though it might not feel like it's complete, when you go, it's because you've done everything you can possibly do in this life, and you're just ready to exit. The exit point is opening up, you take it. And for many people, that's how it works. Actually, pretty much about everyone. Some people do extend the contract to stay longer, But for those who are done, they leave. And, you know, we have to go through the experience of grief. We go through the experience of longing. We look for them. We want them to come back. And, you know, because we're impatient and time takes time. But that's something that, you know, is I'm encapsulating and I'm, again, letting myself get sidetracked. So back to somebody, a fine example of somebody who has died young, but came here, did everything he was going to do, and I am moving around, so if I get loud quickly, that's because I'm close to the microphone. Okay. He came here what he came to do, and he left. And he went out in a blaze of glory, literally. Because if you're a listener and you don't know who Stevie Ray Vaughan is, I will start out by saying he is one of the most amazing blues guitarists. He wasn't he took the Delta blues, he took the Chicago blues, and he took the Texas blues, and he made it into something beautiful and unique. And he made the guitar sing, and he was heralded as the next Jimi Hendrix, although Hendrix is more psychedelic. But you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan could make a guitar just bend to his will, and his music was amazing. And I can remember first finding out about him, like, I think about 1987, 1987, 88, somewhere around there. And he died about 3 years later. Now, for a little context, personal context, my brother, who got around quite a bit in terms of going to concerts in the 80s and 80s and 90s, he went to just about every show Stevie Ray Vaughan put on in the Chicagoland area. And yes, I said Chicagoland. That's an inside joke. He missed only one, I think. He only missed one performance that Stevie Ray Vaughan put on in Chicago, and he was at Alpine Valley the night before he died. Now, my brother has a bit of a unlucky charm in that he's gone to, I think, three concerts. The second to last concert of a series, like the Grateful Dead and one other artist, where the artist wound up dying a short time later. It's like, gee, stop going to concerts, man. You're killing everybody off. So yeah, but it was through my brother who I've picked up my love of Stevie Ray Vaughan. So, okay, his albums. I don't know. I think there's about five or six of them. You can hear kind of a progression in them. And his last album, they finally broke him out of his, not broke as in a bad way, but they got him to leave behind the blues to try a different sound. He also worked on David Bowie's Let's Dance album. And he reportedly, as much as he admired Bowie, he hated the work because Bowie forced him into such a rigid play style for the music. But it's even then the guitar work is just spare and amazing and just catches your ear. You can't get away from it. But so that's this is from this is my was my childhood. This is my history. This is my teenage years that I'm talking about. So I've got a little bit of a different perspective, I guess. Anyhoodle. So he had a style. He stuck to the style. And he, on his final album, changed it. And while it was a brilliant album and you could see the promise of where he was going, it just wasn't him. But that's neither here nor there. This is just personal opinion. So let me get to back to the whole thing about Stevie Ray Vaughan, and now this is the reason why this is coming up, is because as I call it, the finger of Ken, he can screw around with algorithms. He's figured that out, and he's done it very easily. And I have seen stuff that there's only way that some things could have come my way is because he's put his finger in the algorithm and batted it my way. So that happens frequently on YouTube. That happens with how I get my work, and and maybe one or two other areas I've seen it most very clearly and distinctly that it's not a computer delivering it; it's somebody manipulating a computer to deliver it. So, eat that, Google. Back to the topic. So, one of the things that he has been doing lately is pushing Stevie Ray Vaughan into my feed. I have not listened to Stevie Ray Vaughan in a long time. I mean, probably at least a decade. If he comes on the radio, I blow out my stereo system to listen to it because I enjoy it. But otherwise, I haven't gone seeking his music. And I realize there's two reasons, because he doesn't have, it's like it's the same stuff over and over because it's only a handful of albums. There's not much in the way of, well, there is bootleg out there, but he didn't have a lot of stuff that was completed when he died. And I remember his brother, Jimmy Vaughn, talking about that. He looked in the archives. There really wasn't enough to completed to make a full album out of. So there is not a whole lot of unheard tracks that I've ever come across. So, you know, it's like it's a wonder. I love him. I love his music, but I put it aside because, you know, tastes do change or they alter. But there's other things that have caught my ear, and there's a lot of fresh music, so I just don't go back to what I've already heard. It's autism. That's all I got. Anyway, so the fact that he's been pushing these videos into my feed is just like, uh-huh, what are you trying to tell me here? And I did go back and I listened to it. And I listened to these, you know, live at Montreux, some other live performances that are slipping my brain right now, but they're all on YouTube. And I finally picked up what it is that I was being shown. And it comes down to the fact that Stevie Ray Vaughan, we may have lost him at a very young age comparatively to, you know, the brilliant career he was about to explode on, expand on, whatever. He really was finished. He was done. He died before the release of his final album, which... And I'm not tapping into him. I promise you guys. I am not tapping into him because I leave celebrities alone. But I, you know, if from a human perspective, from a perspective of me now, over 30 years later, looking back at the album, I don't think he was, he enjoyed it because he worked with his brother. The album was called Family Style for that reason. But I don't think it was his style of music. I don't think he enjoyed the making of it, but it was something that he probably would not have continued on with in terms of musical style had he done it, had he not been killed in the helicopter crash. So this is why I feel that he is somebody who came here to do something and leave early. And it comes down to the fact that I'm listening to multiple different concerts held over different time period, at different periods of time in his career. So you have, you know, the early career when he was listening tonight where he's playing a live session with Albert King, B.B. King's brother, all the way to the up until the, like, I don't know, a couple of years before he passed. And I'm comparing that with my memory of other stuff that I listened to because I did get bootlegs back in the day. And I'll tell you one thing. There is no major alterations of his performances apart from the fact that he's adding new songs as he gets further into his career. So if you were to go and pull up an early video and a late video in his career to like a concert, live concert, you will hear the same stuff. You will hear very little variation on his guitar riffing and his chords and his progressions and how he handles the guitar. He has these big hands that could just eat up the guitar neck, and he could go from choking it to just going for the longest notes at the end of the neck. So for him, it was easy. He could do it like without, and you watch him, he's just captured in the moment. Now, I will say this much, I will sidestep a moment. He was a known cocaine user. And when you watch the earlier videos before he got clean, you see him soaking in sweat by the first 20 minutes or so. And it's just rolling off of him. He is obviously high, but he's not looking up because he knows if he looks up, you will catch him. And he thinks you will see his face and see his eyes and see that he's high. But he's, you know, powering through some amazing guitar work. And the cocaine keeps him going from start to finish. But he, you know, I will come back to that cocaine use, the implications of that cocaine use later. And, you know, it was part of his genius. And I hate to say that enhancing ourselves with drugs helps and release us sometimes. But yeah, it does. I will admit that. That sometimes we need a little extra kick to get our shit out of our brain and poop it out to the world to hear. Anyway, bad correlation there, or alliteration. So when you if so if you're interested in doing this, look at him, watch him, and you can see the toll of his use on his body. It's not hard to see at all. He's rigid, but his guitar playing is the most fluid you've seen, so he's focusing himself all into that guitar. His bassist and drummer are just there to punctuate his brilliance with their own. They're both very good excellent musicians in their own right. And even the pianist, the organ player, because he always had the Hammond organ sound behind him, was the same kind of thing. Studio musicians that were just they made him brilliant kind of stuff. So all three of them work well together. But you can see, you watch the bass player, you watch the drummer, and they are more paced and relaxed and easy with their instruments than he is. So that's something that you can see. So when you watch him play and you're expecting a note from you've heard on the album, he hits it. You watching him play and you want to see him do a little more, sometimes he does. But for the most part, every time he plays a concert, no matter where, no matter what stage of his career, no matter if he was sober or high, it's always the same. And who cares? Because in a sense, because it is there for us to enjoy. But one of the things about artists is that we like to explore. We like to do new stuff. We like to try to mess around with what we've done. And he does to a degree. And he did try, but he just went back to the familiar stuff. Again, this is not a criticism of him. I'm not trying to be a music critic. I am observing this as somebody who's a psychic medium and understanding the why of why he did this. And it comes down to this is the music he wanted to make. This is the music he wanted to create. He was happy with it. It was catapulting him to fame. It was bringing him money like he never thought he was going to have in his life. And it was game changing for him. And he most likely had himself a life contract that says, I'm going to go out on a high. And what more high do you go out on than fucking flying into pardon me for swearing, guys. Into a helicopter, flying into a mountain. Well, it's an artificial mountain. It's really more of a large hill. I know what Alpine Valley looks like. And in a helicopter and going out in a blaze of glory. Instant death. What better than that? No long drawn out illnesses, no dealing with cardiovascular issues, no cancer, no other diseases that sap our bodies and cause us to die over time. He was gone clean. Literally and figuratively. So, he got his music out. He got what he wanted to make out to the world, and it gave him glory. And you could, when you listen to the music, come back every time, you start to understand that, yeah, that's why he doesn't change a whole lot. That's why he was resistant. And he was not an old man when he died. I think he was in his mid-30s at the most. And somebody at that age is still flexible-minded enough to create something different and change. And we resist it as we get older because we want change. We want our lives to stay the same and be comfortable, but change is inevitable. He decided, I am not gonna deal with this change. I am gonna do what I want to do, screw everybody else, and blow up the world with my guitar playing, and then go. And it's pretty much what you kind of pick up on when you listen to it. You might get bored. You might think on the surface, well, shit, this is boring. He's doing the same set that he did the last set, and there's nothing new, and there's nothing really mind-bending here except for the enjoyment of what he created. And, even though I haven't listened to it in a long time, I still enjoy it. It's just something that I can't listen to over and over again because there's nothing new for me to dig into. I'm not a, you know, I'm, I have some understanding of musical instruments. I did play the violin at once, so I do know, notes and fingering. Jeez, go away, Ken. And how to manipulate the strings to get the reverberation you want. My brother played guitar, so that's why he was a Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. So, I've got some familiarity, and I do listen to this stuff, and I'm like, there's nothing brilliant. There's nothing pushing. He's not pushing himself. He's not trying something different. And I came to that after listening to, I don't know, two, three videos, and I didn't listen all the way through because I knew what was coming. And that each video, even though they were different times and different performances, sounded the same. then it made me realize, wait a minute. The reason why he was original but yet did not push his originality is because he did what he was just here to do one thing and go. He was like, okay, guys, I'm going to blow your minds and then I'm gone. As I keep saying in different iterations, but this is really what he was here for. So in that, it's a summary. I'm giving you more of a summary than getting in depth, but this is an prime example of why we're here. I mean, I'm not saying that this is the meaning of life. This is not why we are here. And I will say always, if you ask me what the meaning of life is, it's experience. And for somebody like him, he felt that his experience, what he needed to do, was to be a famous rock star and then go. And he did. And so as this is not so much a cautionary tale, this is not to tell you to, you know, you got to be a Stevie Ray Vaughan. You got to do your, get, reach the heights. You don't. If you're not interested in it, you don't have to. And if you feel like, but you do, excuse me, screwing myself up here, you do want to follow your gut instinct when it comes to doing things, even if they feel uncomfortable, because that pushing your boundaries, that pushing yourself is what you're here to do. And not everybody is, but if you have something that says, I need to do this to feel fulfilled, then do it. This is why you're here. This is a part of you that has not been fulfilled. And you need to fill it before you go. And, it, you know, we all talk about the bucket list and the things that we need to do in life. And, you know, like there's a commercial from a while back, I don't remember how far back, of a guy walking across an ice field and in the mountains and talking about when people were interviewed at the end of their life, they didn't talk about what they did do. They talked about the regrets of what they didn't do. And it is very true. Now, the regrets when you pass and are gone, the regrets aren't really the regrets. It's more along the lines of, oh, wait, I did all of that stuff that I wanted to do because before I came here. So, yeah, so much for that bucket list. However, even though I'm kind of faffing it off, go on that vacation that you've been dreaming about. Put the money aside and make no more excuses. Say hello to somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Go out and just sit in your backyard for 8 hours and enjoy the weather. You know, wear sunscreen. And I'm kind of making references here to that famous poem, I guess, of everybody needs to wear sunscreen. But take that poem and make it your life. Don't let mediocrity get in the way or fear get in the way. Oh, I know that's a hard one. I'm not immune to it. But do your thing. Be Stevie Ray Vaughan. Go out there and do your blaze of glory, whatever form it comes in. And don't regret anything. Don't give a shit. Don't care about what other people think. You know, drag somebody along with you. Be Thelma and Louise. You know, just live life. And I'm saying this impartially because as we come out of the pandemic, which is, it's following the playbook of every other pandemic. So just still be careful out there, people, you know. But we are slowly returning to we're not going back to the old way of life. I'll say that much. We are returning to a new normal that has something in common with the old normal. But we just had an accelerated timeline to change what is our current normal. So take that lesson of close brushes with serious illness that affects your life and causes death and get out there and live your life. So, but if you feel that you haven't completed something, don't take it as something of a failure. It just wasn't your time to get to it. It wasn't that important to you in your contract, and there was something bigger that you needed to do that made the less important thing come along. So don't question yourself, is what I'm getting at. Do what feels right. Your instinct is always right, and listen to it. So if you're getting a clarion call to do something, do it. And I know I'm repeating myself a little bit here, and it's a habit I need to get out of. So on that note, I'm coming to my half hour finale. In terms of where I've been, I'll just do a brief update. Like I said in the beginning, I have been just working and just trying to change my own life and do something different. And now that pandemic, like I said, is fading, I am going to probably go go do some stuff that I haven't been able to do. I was not able to get a podcast out before I did a show in the Chicago area with my friend, and I would not have been able to talk to people because it was so busy. So I will have to regroup on where I'm going, what I'm going to do, and think about it. And I do still intend to get out there and put my face out there for everybody to see. But we'll see how it goes. I just haven't really put my mind to it. And we'll see what happens. So let's see, sensitivity stuff. Oh yes, I do have a funny story. And people, I tell this stuff because I'm not the only, psychics aren't the only people that experience these things. We just don't recognize it as real because it happens in such a dream state. And I get dream state when I'm awake. I don't know if that's the same for most people or some people or what, but I'll just be sitting there with an idle thought and I will get an image, or I will see, so I'll hear something, or I'll get a, I'll get a song in my head that's actually pointing at something that I'm doing, and I'll get to that at the end. So it's the last, not this, so just recently, and I think this happened about three or four times. As I'm falling asleep, the state between awake and asleep is when your defenses are down and you start hearing stuff. I pick up the name Enoch, and as an Enoch. And I think nothing of it apart from the fact, wow, that's kind of an antique name that hasn't been in use, common use for how long? And I'm thinking nothing of it and just let it go. Then I'm in a dream, and somebody comes along with, I hear the name Enoch again, and it was in a REM sleep state dream. So I'm like, okay, second time, that's a little weird, but okay, I'll let it go. And I think there was one other time I heard the name Enoch, and it was a contextual thing. Somebody was saying the name Enoch. It wasn't just the name Enoch coming into my head. It was like, oh, this guy Enoch kind of stuff. So finally, I wake up in the middle of the night because my bladder loves to wake me up because, early menopause was that's one of the symptoms. You don't get to sleep through the night because you gotta pee. So I get up to pee, and I faintly hear the name Enoch because I am walking and I'm half awake, half asleep. We all know that state. And I finally stopped and I said, "Who's Enoch?" And I got back, "Enoch wants to talk." And I said, "Well, Enoch's family can bring me money because they ain't talking without money." So that has stopped the insistence of some guy named Enoch wanting to come forward and talk to me. And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't care. I don't, work for free here, buddy. If you're get your family to bring me money, if they can find me, and I'll talk to them." So there you have it. That's kind of like that's one of the things that happened. But the changing subjects back to Ken for a moment, because I usually like to give a good Ken story while I'm at it, is this one just happened today. Now in life, Ken is half Asian, and he had the lactose intolerance that comes with being, Asian. And we joked about that all the time, but yeah, it was not fun if he got a whiff of dairy without some kind of without lactose intolerance stuff beforehand. If he didn't take it, he would ugh. Anyway. So, he's been getting his lactose jollies through me because I've talked about it in the past. People in spirit ride the living, and it's as they're eating it on their own. So they're not like drinking it with you, like in overlaying. They're like, they have their own glass, they have their own plate, or they make their own stuff. But when they share it with somebody else, it's more of a, how do I put it? It's an act of sharing. It's an act of love in something, in some cases. So he has been making up for the lost time of not having dairy in his past life through me. Because I am a dairy whore. I love everything dairy. Ice cream, straight milk, anything you can put milk into, I will drink it and eat it and love it. So, anyway, I've recently been making my own Frappuccinos, TM, before Starbucks comes after me for using their word. And been making them at home a little bit. I'm not a massive coffee drinker. I have to have decaf, otherwise I go off the rails with craziness, because that's what decaf does to me, or caffeine does to me, excuse me, coffee caffeine. And he was bugging, I kept on getting this urge today of, let's make a coffee shake. Let's make a coffee slushy. And I kept getting a taste for it, you know, chocolatey, creamy, sugary, all that good stuff. So I'm like, I know where this is coming from. It ain't me, because I haven't had a need or an urge for a while. So thanks, Ken. Okay, you've been a good boy. I'll indulge you. I'm so nice, aren't I? So I come upstairs, make my, I put things, the ingredients together, and blend it up with some ice and some, you know, make it nice and rich and chocolatey and icy. As I'm making it, and this is, he gives me song quotes, so he'll play a song in my head. Tonight, when I was doing the milk, doing the coffee shake, the song, the refrain from a Coldplay song, "You Make Me Feel Like I'm Alive Again," complete with musical instruments, kept repeating in my head, and the woo-woo afterwards. I don't know the name of the song itself. You might recognize it from, the listener might recognize it from hearing it on the radio, but for me, I just pick it up now and again. So I'm like, so my drinking a coffee shake is making you feel alive again. You're too easy. So life with a dead person, it's just like it is with their living, except you don't have to worry about them being in your space and pissing you off. Well, I take that back. Anyway, but seriously, it's like having a spiritual hitchhiker, and I using those words teasingly is interesting because he's not going to do anything to make me to put me in harm's way. He never will. It's not who he is. And I trust him implicitly because of that. But every once in a while, he gets a taste for something and he just kind of wants to, you know, he pushes buttons to see if I can't help him out and do something nice for myself in the meantime. Yeah, great. So, on that note, I am going to wind things up. My frickin' fan furnace is coming on. So, before that goes and makes a lot of noise in the background, y'all take care. Thank you for listening. Love y'all. And I will be back at some point with another podcast topic that I haven't foreseen yet. Meanwhile, take care of yourselves, be safe, and be well.